Welcome to Ask an Innovator, where we interview senior executives about innovation. You can find us at askaninnovator.com or subscribe with your favorite podcast app. I'm your host, Josh Barker, CEO of City Innovation Labs. Welcome to Ask an Innovator. I'm here with Dominique Betancourt. She is the Open Innovation Manager for CWT.
Correct.
Welcome, Dominique.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about you and then okay. CWT.
Sure. So I work within CWT in our new product development team, and it's broken up into two pieces. So one is incubation. So that is once we got a proof of concept going and we need somebody to literally incubate it, that would go to that team. So they're more of the technical side of our team. And then myself and my boss work on the open innovation side. So we do a lot of the sourcing of concepts and startups and looking to bring those and then socialize those internally and externally with our clients. For us, CWT is a travel management company. So when you look at travel, there's really two types of travel. There's leisure, I'm going on vacation, and then there's business travel. And so we are in the business of business travel. And what that means is any company that has business travelers tries to manage that cost of business travel.
Right.
And as a TMC, we help support them in two ways. So one is provide services, call an agent, book online, as well as the sort of management of that program, whether that's suppliers, especially data, to help a company travel buyers have a line of focus into travel.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I mean, I'd imagine the travel industry has just completely transformed, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, back in the day, you'd go to a travel agent, right? You'd say,
oh, absolutely.
I want to go to the Bahamas.
An on-site agent, really,
right.
For work, right?
That's
like,
right.
Hey, Janie.
That's right.
Know,
I know your
you
name.
Me?
Yeah. And we're going to go here next week. And now it's, you know, you get this whole new demographic coming up with the internet.
Right.
And they're like, I'm going to go online. I'm going to book my own.
Yeah, it
right?
shifted into this self-serve. And
right.
I think for a lot of companies, that presented two things, right? That presented both a conundrum
yeah.
because business travel was a lot of hand-holding. You could go to Janie and be like, hey, Janie, can you, you know, hook me up? I got to go on this business trip. Mm. And somebody would handle all that for you, which was a nice, call it perk, right?
Sure.
But then it shifted into the more of the self-serve. And as employees got more used to doing it online, it presented this great cost reduction because Janie's really expensive.
Right.
So then it really shifted into, wow, we could really manage this. People were more self-serve. So for us and our business, we had to shift along with that. And that took some time because the online booking tools in the leisure space were great, but there wasn't really anybody building those in the corporate space. Mm. So we actually, many, many years ago, built our own. And then you had players like Concur and GetThere, probably one of the more well-known business online booking tools, come into the space and start building that up. So that has been an evolution really over the past 10 to 15 years and has exploded over the last 5 years.
Mm. How have you guys, you know, identified the need to shift? And, you know, you and I were talking just before the podcast on really frameworks and things that that helped in systems that help drive innovation.
Right.
How have you guys really gone through a lot of that transformation ongoing?
Yeah, I would say, so I've worked at CWT for about 9 years, and it has been both painful and exciting
yeah.
at the same time. And really what has accelerated it for us is almost 3 years ago, we brought on a new CEO, Kurt Eckert, that really started to focus on this digital transformation, right? And how do we really react to that and become more of a digital agency? And I think for us, that's really accelerated the need internally around how do we work with third parties? So bring more kind of outside innovation into our company, as well as accelerate the internal innovation. So I would say that's kind of what really started to push us. You know, we were always moving along. We were bringing new products to market very slowly, but now there's this real need to accelerate that pace.
Yeah. And I was talking with someone the other day and they said they're in the construction space. And I thought this is really pertinent to what you're saying right now, because
right.
they said, we've transformed from a construction company to a technology company that does construction.
Yes.
So it's really interesting. And I bet that's similar vein of what you're talking about with travel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's our clients are coming to us, our customers are coming to us really asking for more technology to improve the experience, mm-hmm. where previously it was like, how do you help us cut costs? How do you help us focus on savings? And now it's really, we want to go almost back to the beginning with Janie, right? Which is this really personal, really, you know, supportive of the traveler. Then they went through this cost, like, oh man, we could do this real cheap. And then they're now they're coming to it. Well, actually, we want to enable our employees better. So how do we do that? How can you make sure that you help us do that? So that's really where we are today, is where can we really bring some transformative products and services to the market that not only becomes a competitive advantage for us, but also supports programs in a way that we haven't been able to in the past.
And I bet a lot of that innovation is not only driven from the advent of technology like our phones and computer and the internet, but it's also probably, you know, with all these changes, you have these new demographics,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Which have these new needs, you know, this new and up-and-coming Gen Z and Gen X. They have this, they've been around technology forever. And so now they're, it's like an extension of their arm, right? Versus older generations, they're really kind of the old way of doing things, which is like, I want to call Sally and she can coordinate my travel.
Well, I think it's actually a catch 22, because what I've found is when it comes to business travel, when we look at the general demographics, your road warriors are typically your 40 and over. And they are really the ones that are the early adopters of things like mobile check-in with the airline, right? So it's surprising that a lot of times we like to peg this younger generation, right?
But
that
you're seeing
the ones,
older ones.
Exactly. They're really the ones that are either A, asking for it, B, early adopters of it, and are some of our best sort of travelers to bring these services to. But don't get me wrong, I think the needs of some of the millennials and then the generation after that in the workforce is something different in the sense of they like to go to a location and actually experience it, right? So what's the hot new restaurant there, or push me a concert, or, you know, is there, do I have time to maybe do a walking tour or something like that? So they're really looking for what I would consider like in destination services, where that may be one of the key differentiators we're starting to see in these in the demographics is less about who's going to use technology, more everybody's using it, and they want mobile services and they want to be able to connect with us as far as, oh, I'm trip disruption, something's going on, that kind of thing. But also these in-destination services are something that's growing and that is becoming more on demand, so to speak.
Interesting. So you're integrating that in CWT, where maybe when you say in destination, you're talking about experiences. So maybe elaborate on that.
I would look at it as sometimes it's really bucketed into things like tours and activities, but I would broaden that into just something like looking at seeing my itinerary and being able to fill in, oh, you know, you have time to do this, or you can actually take this tour or go to this place, this location. So serving up content that I normally would have to Google search, figure it out, go to Yelp, whatever those things are, right? And I think for us right now, it's more of a concept we're really intrigued by. As we continue to look at other concepts that are more focused, that are also focused on the cost and reducing costs and the savings. So, I mean, for our team, we are really focused on the whole sort of new product, right? One of the things I actually heard another innovation leader talk about is how to differentiate innovation in your company, because you have your core world, right? Your core products and services, and they should always be innovating. But that is like a 1 to 8x, right? Or what to me, that is iteration, right? You're iterating, you're adding a new feature here, you're doing that kind of thing, where you have a team or you have people tasked with like the 10x. So what is going to really push you and make you truly different or bring a whole new product or service? And so for us, as we start to look at these other areas, it's really intriguing because it could really set us apart in the marketplace, but also really push us into a world we don't even play in today, right? Because that's a little bit of leisure and a little bit of business, right? And so how do you blend those two worlds without really crossing over too much? It is a fine line that we have to sort of manage, because corporations are our right. customers, right?
Right.
So we have to really manage that line. But I think for us, it's really looking, that's our line of sight. That's how we kind of focus on that long-term vision of what are we going to bring to the company that's really going to either be a brand new product or service or really push something that we delivered today 10x.
Interesting. So with corporate travel, you're seeing that, hey, I'm going here on business to New York, but I also have downtime and I want to be able to do something with that. That's kind of what you're talking
about.
Yes,
there's a lot of research going into that. It's has this term called bleisure, which I'm not really a fan of. But I mean, it is something that's growing as far as, especially around the world. So Chinese travelers are really well known to that is a big thing for them. They love to do a lot of in-destination. So it has a lot of applicability, both globally as well as in the business world. So it's an area that is growing that we want to kind of keep our eyes on as we look at other areas of opportunity, things like visa support, which is a really complicated world, things like how to optimize my pricing. So we do a lot of those types of things where we want to look at the core of what we do, right? Delivering travel services and making sure that it's cost effective for our clients as well as new and unique services for the traveler at the same time.
And you know, one of the things I've been curious about is how has things like Airbnb affected you guys? Mm-hmm. You know, like how has that affected the travel industry?
Well, I mean, so to me, I would put that into the bucket of like new content, right? Yeah. And disruptive content at that. And I think for us, it's played both an opportunity and both a how does that fit into our core business model, right? The likes of Airbnb for us is a new content model that presents for a corporation a very different challenge and opportunity than for a leisure traveler.
Yeah.
Because a corporation, remember, when you travel for business, they are somewhat responsible for you.
That's right.
Wherever you are in destination. Yes. So there's been, you know, that question around security and what does that mean? And is this kind of something that we want as part of our business? Because it does present a cost savings angle, right? But and also a experience angle because it's unique, it's different every location, but also it's presented some unique challenges for companies. So for us, it's looking at it from a new content. So, and there's lots of new hotel content, lots of new, especially in other parts of the world. You're looking at ground transportation content. So we really do look at those as opportunities at first and then go through that kind of vetting of, does that fit into our core business model? Does it not? Would that add value? Would it not? And that's really, I think to me, as part of an innovation team, you go in there with optimism and then you start kind of slowly stepping into reality.
Right.
Right. Like,
right.
What does that actually mean in our world versus it being something that's just, you know, the shiny ball and exciting?
And I imagine that's probably similar to also Uber and Lyft. Mm-hmm. These are probably the same type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, really, when those two came out onto the scene many years ago and started to creep into business travel, travel buyers were freaked out. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is going on? And so we really tried to give them guidance in the beginning or around, like, this is nothing to be afraid of.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, your employees are consumers first. They're not employees first, right? And so you always have to think about it that they're going to bring these things into your company because they use them as a consumer. And so it's been a slow build. I mean, corporate travel is well known to be a slow, kind of a slow ship compared to how fast leisure travel goes and sort of innovates and iterates. So for us, it was a lot of kind of just paying attention. And now there's, you know, Uber, Lyft corporate partnerships. So it's really grown over the years to accommodate the needs of business travel, which in the end is very different than leisure travel.
Oh, absolutely. Now, switching gears for a second, what does your team look like, your core team that you day-to-day work with?
Mm-hmm. So our core team, as I said earlier, we have the open innovation side, which we do the sourcing, and we're looking at bringing concepts into the team. So we focus a lot on that, whether it's partnering and talking with different startups that have new and exciting concepts they're bringing into travel, whether it's our clients bringing us ideas, as well as the fact I run these innovation labs with our partner Accelerator out in Sunnyvale. And so that's a place where we bring clients in, we're collaborating with them and startups at the same time. So we're really getting and bringing a lot of concepts. Then we bring those into our team to start to look at those as, okay, what's the business value here? What would it add? What are people saying? Could we do an easy proof of concept, like a simple data one? And so that's where we start putting it through our process to really vet, is that part of our key priorities? So it's always really important that you as a company have key priorities, right? That you're looking to drive towards as a business. And for us, we specifically want to make sure that anything we're going after kind of lines up with those key priorities. So we make sure that it has some alignment, and then we look at, okay, how do we pass that to the incubation team to then start to bring that project to life, put KPIs around it, project plan, that kind of thing.
You know, you guys as a team really find these, number one, these opportunities, but then also what is your system of kind of bringing them in?
I think for the finding part, it's some of it's luck to me.
Yeah.
As innovation is, right? It's a little bit of luck because things just come onto your radar and you're like, ooh, that looks kind of really interesting. Having an accelerator incubator partner is really helpful because they have a whole vertical dedicated to travel and hospitality that makes a big difference because they're doing a lot of the sourcing on our behalf. We can bring them use cases and say, hey, you know, we want to look at who is doing something different in trip disruption, right? Today, there's a lot of friction around trip disruption. If your flight gets disrupted, you're freaking out, or maybe you're even a seasoned business traveler and you know how to move, but you're not quite sure what's going on. I mean, it just creates a lot of challenge for a business traveler. So we'll bring that to them, and then they can start to source and bring us startups. So to me, when you're thinking about kind of bringing and putting together an innovation team or somebody who's actually looking at those types of things, having that kind of partner makes a really big difference.
I'd imagine.
So that's kind of one way that we do it. And really one of our key ways that we do it. And then from a process standpoint, I would say we don't have as much structure as maybe other organizations. Like I think of the packaging, the consumer packaging world, which has like really strict innovation process, right? And it's very prescriptive about how something goes from a concept to scale. For us, it's a little bit more fluid if I think about it. And we bring it in, we kind of debate it, we socialize it, and then we decide, let's just give it a try. Let's see if it plays out based on the value that we originally thought about.
So what does like give it a try look like? Right? It looks different in every...
chuck it over the fence. No. I think give it a try. Let me think of a recent project. So a recent project we had was helping clients with bookings that are going out of channel. So out of channel for a corporation would be I created this program to push my travelers, my employees through this funnel so I can control costs, I get line of sight to costs, and they can have visibility to all of my negotiated rates, all that good stuff, right? But if I'm a traveler, I'm like, I don't really like this tool, or I'm just going to do my own thing, then I can go, I'll book direct with a supplier, whether that's the airline, hotel, whatever. So one of the challenges has been over the years is really how do I, in real time, as a traveler is searching and looking, how do I get in front of them and kind of persuade them to maybe come back in channel? And there's a recent startup that has come onto our radar. Their name is Shep, and they have this little plugin that could pop up and say, hey, we see you're on Marriott. Did you know that your corporation has this great rate with Marriott? Go here. Or just kind of keeping in real time, being able to influence those travelers. So for us, that was really interesting because we really haven't been able to solve for somebody in real time searching sites and then, you know, maybe coming to book. It's always been posts like, oh, sure. We can look at the data and give you line of sight, which to me is still valuable. Yet getting in front of them and trying to influence their behavior is just as valuable. So that is where now where we've kind of started discussions with them and we partner with the client to look at and see, okay, what does this mean? How would this look? Does it have the kind of influence they're claiming it could have, right?
Sure.
So that's kind of an example of how it was a cool idea, just kind of got on our radar. We started discussions, partnered with a client who actually brought it to us, and then are kind of putting it through a learn and see type of approach as we look at, okay, if it gets through that, then we're going to go into full pilot and go to other clients and start scaling the pilot amongst many clients to really continue to prove that point.
Hmm. So what is the learn and see and then the pilot for you guys? Is that because obviously you probably don't want to roll it out to everyone all
right,
at once.
Right, right.
So it's probably just test it with a client.
Yep.
Is that accurate? Mm-hmm. Just one client, yep. See how it goes.
Yep. And so it's, you know, looking at key KPIs. It's thinking about, okay, how often does it come up? How often are people searching out? How often is it popping up? Are we seeing any shift in movement from that person going back in channel? And what is anything else that may come onto our radar out of that? Just getting a sense of how many people do they deploy it to and what are they seeing kind of come out of that? Are they seeing any trends of maybe their online booking stats went up a little bit? So just looking at any impact that may have had on their program. And then from there saying, okay, here are some key learnings. Now we want to scale a little bit bigger. So we want to go from one client to six clients and deploy it across that. And
sure.
Then we're going to continue to look at those KPIs so we can start to see what's the value play
right.
That comes out of that. And that's always the key, right? So we have the problem we're solving for, which is people like to search and book.
Yep.
Sometimes it's not in channel.
Yep.
So if this is a way to solve for it, what is the value to the business to solve for it, right?
Yeah.
Are they seeing a return in people going back into program? Are they getting access to data they've never seen before? And that has value. So that's kind of how, maybe to your question of, you know, what does the wait and see look like? It's thinking, it's keeping our eyes on the problem we're solving for and then attaching the value along the way and keeping track of what the value is that we're delivering.
That's good. So you guys have this, you know, being the open innovation team, you guys are looking at external startups, you're looking at your customers. What about internally with employees as they have ideas? Are you guys also evangelists internally of the innovation?
We used to be. So our team originally was tasked with that, with engaging employees to get their ideas. And what I would say is, from my perspective, I actually was the one that was kind of managing that whole process,
this
crowdsourcing to go out to employees and say, you know, bring us your ideas. But what I think the lesson learned of that and why it moved off to our team and into the human resource sector is because you really have to be able to focus employees on key problems you're trying to solve for and really hit the right employees in order to do that. So if I'm trying to solve for mobile and I go after call center people, those two things aren't really going to jive all that much as far as what they could bring to the table to solve for that. So for us, the lessons learned from there is, number one, leadership is really huge as far as pushing the importance of, as employees, we want your ideas and we're willing to implement what you have if you have something that is really of value. And number two, it's the right team that can kind of push that message, nurture the employee base, and really be able to nurture those ideas that come in and be able to bring them to implementation. It is a tough bridge to cross you always want to say, I want to be able to, you know, get ideas from your employees, and leadership does, but when you have a large organization, 18,000 people in all kinds of different professions, it's how do you kind of herd them into very focused areas so you can have something tangible come out of it. And that takes time to build and effort.
Right.
And sprinkle in a little money.
Right. Some of the things that we talked about where we're seeing this as you're traveling, this whole experience, you know, they're traveling for maybe corporate travel and they want an experience when they travel. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things you guys are kind of seeing on the forefront of the horizon coming up and even today.
Yep.
What are some other things you're seeing kind of in the future of travel?
Well, one of the areas we talk a bit about today is what is the TMC of the future? Like, what does that look like? And I think, you know, from my viewpoint, from my opinion, what I'm seeing today is you're going to, let's say next 10 years, right? Going to be in a world where it's completely frictionless. And I mean that in the sense of I don't actually have to think about booking anymore. Mm. And so if you use the example of my boss sends me an email, says, hey, Dominique, you need to go to Sunnyvale for XYZ. That technology will be smart enough, AI will be smart enough to pick that up and start the booking process for me. Hmm. So, hey, kick me an itinerary right off of that, right? I can click, say, yep, that one works. And then all of that is kind of taken care of. And I don't have to really think about all of these pieces that need to go into play. How am I going to get to the airport? What is the wait in, you know, TSA? Right. What's to eat near my gate? You know, all of those things that for a business traveler today is super cognitive weight, right? I got so much to think about as I'm traveling because effectively I'm managing three jobs, right? I'm managing the job I traveled for, whatever that might be. I still got that job at the office that I'm, you know, banging out emails and, you know, talking to employees. So I'm still managing that. And then I'm my personal life, right? Because I'm away from that sort of life, what do you want to call it, schedule that I have. So now I'm away from that and I have to manage whatever might be going on there.
Right.
And that might be as simple as, you know, calling back home and just talking and where do I find time in my schedule, do all that. So I think we're going to look back and say, I can't believe I had to log on to Concur. Book travel.
Right.
I mean, I see it as truly kind of frictionless where so much is so easy for me. I can walk into a hotel and I don't have to talk to anybody. I go right to my room. I can walk right through TSA because the biometrics knows who I am and I don't have to talk to anybody. Nobody's making me strip. I go straight to my, right? So really to me, that I think in the next 10 years, we will get either to that point or very close to that point where it's completely frictionless. And as a business traveler, I'm saving so much time and I'm so much more productive on the road to actually drive business forward the way that you want me to today.
Right. I want that tomorrow.
Right? Everybody does.
it would cut out so much noise of, like you said, of, you know, I've got to be in this meeting at this location and then buzz it over to here. Because when I'm downtown in a loop, for example, I'm going from meeting to meeting to meeting. It might be in different places and having to take an Uber and knowing, is that enough time to hit my next meeting?
Exactly.
And so it's I can't wait for that future.
I know, me neither.
Man, you guys making it happen, though, right?
I think it's one of these things that for us, we're in B2B, right? We're not in the B2C world, which, so for the Expedias of the world, they'll move pretty fast, I think, in that regard. For us, it's going to be a bit of thoughtfulness about how do we get there and how do we manage that against our business to make sure that we're making the right moves that bring value both to us, the client, to the traveler, all at the same time.
Right.
That is a tap dance that I'm sure a lot of companies go through, right? You sort of have several different masters you're trying to play to. And I think for us, it will be over the years kind of finding that right cadence, that right stride where you're bringing in new products and services, where people adopt it quickly. It has a lot of value to a business and you can continue to prove that. I think for us, as long as we can continue to prove value to the business, that these services, that these, you know, creating less and less friction, I think we can get there.
So what would you say some takeaways are, you know, for all of us, the listeners listening to the podcast? We've talked about a lot of different things. What would you say the takeaways are?
I would say, for me, I think in my experience and kind of working in this world, especially in the innovation, kind of new product development world, where I would say is the very first place you should always start is what is the problem we're solving for?
Yeah.
A trend that has been really growing, I think, in the innovation space is this design thinking strategy, right? And mindset of And to me, I'm getting more and more attracted to that, because when you kind of focus on that problem you're solving for and come at it from the user experience, it makes such a big difference around how you kind of innovate, right? So for me, I would highly recommend kind of taking that on and really thinking about how does design thinking kind of fit into our culture and our world, but always focus on the problem you're solving for, because so often I see people going after the solution, like how can I make that solution fit into my world?
Right.
And that's your, to me, that's kind of
backwards,
right?
Completely.
So that to me is really the big key, like what are the problems we're really, that'll take us 10x, right? Not the 1 to 8, right? Because your core teams are already kind of focused on, they're iterating. What's that 10x innovation problems we're solving for? And then the second piece to me is leadership. Like you really have to have this leadership buy-in and support to help remove roadblocks.
Yeah.
Because we're a large organization. We've been around a long time, almost 100 years. And so, you know, there's a legacy in there, whether it's technology when it comes to legacy or just the way that you do things. So sometimes you can hit roadblocks. And so having either a sponsor or just leadership who are like, this is really important, they can help you remove some of those roadblocks and get things done faster, be agile. Mm. And I think the final piece is to really ensure that there's a clear distinction between iteration, who's doing that, versus innovation, like real kind of product, new product development, real pushing the envelope and vision. Because when you have those two things separate, everybody kind of knows their role, right?
Right.
I know that we've kind of run into sometimes clashing into different departments where they're like, wait, what are you guys doing over there?
Right.
Because we're kind of working on this. So we've really had to evolve to say, hey, you guys are doing your thing and we're not going to step into that. That's your innovation. You got your roadmap for the year, right? You're doing your thing. We're going to focus really on pushing the envelope over here. And that whole Bleacher is a really great example of that. If nobody else is kind of, you know, everybody has maybe a little, some people have a little bit of idea, but we're really trying to focus on what would it look like and how do we kind of bring a prototype or whatever that might be to life so we can kind of start to show people what that will look like. So I hope that's a good example of maybe that difference between the core iteration team and then that innovation team.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you for listening to Ask an Innovator. Visit us on our website, www.askaninnovator.com. This podcast has been sponsored by City Innovation Labs.